morning is called The Power and the Gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to touch briefly an overview of the gifts. Now, firstly, I want you to think about a space shuttle. Sorry, I've got a hair annoying me. Okay, a space shuttle. Now, a space shuttle weighs about 4.5 million pounds. How on earth does 4.5 million pounds get from Earth far enough into outer space to make an orbit? Well, it needs a lot of power, a heck of a lot of power for that. Actually, it needs 7 million pounds of thrust power for that. So think of this. How much power did it take to create the universe? How much power does it take to maintain the galaxies and the solar system? How much power does it take to save a soul? How much power does it take to use people like you and me? And the answer is this. It takes an enormous amount of power, but of course this is God's power. He has plenty of power and power in reverse. He rules the universe with his feet up. It's nothing to him. His power is just there. And he doesn't go home and go, "I've had a hard day at work," and to put his feet up, because God is actually already all-powerful. Now, a little story, very little. There was two people standing in front of the foot of Niagara Falls. One man who was a local pointed to this enormous amount of water coming down and he said, "That's the greatest unused power in the universe." And his friend, who was a believer, said, "No, it's not. The Holy Spirit of God is the greatest unused power in the universe." He certainly hit on something there. Because God is all powerful and he wants to give us power to live our Christian life, but it's so unused and untapped into. Now, the Holy Spirit is far more than a power source. He's a person. He has personality traits. Not just a person, but a divine person. He is God himself and is the third member of the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit has come to help us, which is great. So let's confirm that in John 14:26. Oh, it's not there, okay. This is the Amplified version. "But the Helper, Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor," love that, "Counselor," take that one, "Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," that's in my place, "to represent me and act on my behalf, and he will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything I've told you." Just look at some of those things. He's a comforter. When we need comfort, when Sue needed comfort for the things that she was going through, he was there for her. An intercessor, he prays for us. Counselor, I'm not against counselors, but I can tell you that he is the best counselor. You know, Graham and I at one point thought we need some counseling, let's get some counseling. But it just didn't happen because we both submitted ourselves to the counsel of the Holy Spirit. And he counseled us through. And you might think, well, how can he do that? Well, when you're serious about listening to what God's plan is for you and what he has for you, and you, in the scriptures, he will speak to you. And if you will do what he says, you are being counseled. I love that. He's our strengthener. There's no other strength like the strength that God gives us, his strength, not ours. And standby. He's right there by me anytime. So we, God's people, we the church, have a helper. Just like Jesus, when he walked the earth, he was there for the disciples. And if we could just drill that into our heart every day, "I have a helper, I have a helper. I don't have to do this today on my own because I have a helper." I think we would look at the day differently if we knew he's right there, he's our standby. And I don't think we tap into the Holy Spirit nearly enough. We should tell ourselves every day, "Yep, I got that helper." The Holy Spirit, now he came to save us, as we know. He comes to sanctify us, which basically means he comes to clean us up, set us apart, make us holy, free us from our sin and purify us. So he came to save us, and then he came to sort us out, didn't he? And then he came again. Well, he didn't come again, he already came. He came to come upon us and to supercharge us with his power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And when he wants us to do something, he gives us the strength and the power to do it. I couldn't do this without the Holy Spirit. It would be nothing. It would be just someone up here talking. But when the Holy Spirit is involved, his power, his anointing comes through. So we see that we are a vessel. Okay, we are a vessel that God created with the capacity to contain God. We have that in us, that space for God, and that's what we need to fill us with. Because the Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're the vessels and God is the treasure in us. But I think man's greatest capacity is to be a channel from which flows into us the Holy Spirit and out from us. As Jesus said, torrents of living water. Living water doesn't stay stagnant. It comes in us, through us, and out to others. So if we are a channel, then we continually need to be filled up, right? I know that if I get a bit frustrated, annoyed, grumpy, or whatever, which I don't much, but, you know, I just know it's time. I need to just get before God. God, fill me again. Fill me again. Because I give out a lot. I'm always giving out. And so we need to be filled. We need to be refilled. You know, we can bottle things up and have our own little theology package just down pat. And yeah, we have Christ, but we have the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we can go, yeah, well, it's okay. We don't need all that. We've just got our own little bit here. But the Holy Spirit wasn't given so we could just splash around our own little pool. No, it was given that we would be a channel to come into us, through us, and out to others. How are others going to be touched if it's not coming in and through us? They're not. So if you can't say today that your life is flowing in and flowing out, then maybe God needs to do a deeper work in us. And we do. We need to constantly be refilling with the Holy Spirit. You know, there's certain situations I'll go into or things I know I've got to do, and I'll know I'll need a special filling for that moment. A special, like, God, I need you in this moment. And look, I can say that in just an instant. Wherever I am, I don't need a whole prayer meeting to do that. I can just say, I take a moment, God, fill me with your Spirit because I need you right now. And then I feel refreshed and equipped for that situation. So we constantly need to be refilling. And it's in Scripture. It's in lots of places in the early church. And I'm just giving an overview today because of time. And Paul spoke about being filled and being filled again. So it's scriptural that we continue to be filled. And I guess it's like being soaked, immersed in, saturated by, controlled by the Spirit. So that's it's flowing out of my life. And I want that. We need that. We need that dynamic empowering of the Holy Spirit in our life to love and to serve others. So let's just look at the gifts. The gifts, the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 1-7. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Take that note. Sometimes the church is ignorant of things. Paul was really going, church, I don't want you to be ignorant. He's talking to the church in Corinth. He says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Just stop there for a tick. So notice in verse 1, the spiritual gifts, Paul does not want us to be ignorant about this. And so there obviously was a great ignorance to the people he was talking to, because we can be ignorant because we don't understand. There's no knowledge. And so we need to know these things. And sometimes, yet, the church can be ignorant, and we need to be reminded and informed. So Paul goes into a lengthy discussion in chapter 12 about it. He goes into a little bit more in chapter 13, but in chapter 14 he goes in depth. So you can read those yourself. So we'll go on here, verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. And speaking of faith, I remember sitting somewhere in a meeting, I think it was in a BMI conference or something, and I remember this sentence just dropping into me. I can't explain it. It said, I'm giving you the gift of faith. Oh, okay. So I actually wrote that down because I thought, what does that mean? Well, later on I knew I needed that gift of faith, and it stayed with me, and there's nothing that I can't believe God can't do. So, and by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits. That's a really important one, to discern who's actually speaking, because there are evil spirits that do speak. To another, different kind of tongues. That's a gift when, like, people come out and give a gift in tongues. That's not our personal tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And, of course, in a public setting, if someone gives a word in tongues, it must be interpreted in front of the people. By one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So he gets to choose who gets what. Now, I've heard it said, not here, but there are some people that say, well, that was for back then, right? These gifts in the book of Acts and the early church, they've ceased. They're no longer relevant for today. That was for that time period. It's over now. God doesn't do those things anymore. I don't know if you've ever heard that. And they think that these gifts are not here for today. And then there's other people that just don't want to even talk about the Holy Spirit and the gifts there. Well, I've watched people get a bit nervous and when they talk about those things, and they're afraid to open themselves up because of they might be afraid of what's going to happen and worried they might lose control or something and start doing something weird. But being filled with the Spirit is never about losing control. We do have control. Things should be done decently in order, as the Bible says, so we can control ourselves, okay? But sometimes when God comes upon us and it's like there's a burning word, you know, when you've gone to get up for something and come out the front, God's prompted you to come out. And then, you know, there is always and there always will be someone that might be way off base because they're not operating in the right spirit. And we're always going to get that. But don't let that stop you. Don't quench the Spirit if he's speaking to you. Now, the reason that some people get that wrong and say this is not for today is from this scripture. And I'll show you what it is. It's in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 to 10. It says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Wherever there are tongues, they will cease. Wherever there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. So some people will say that these gifts of tongues and prophecies, they're for a time period and all gone now. But it's actually talking about the coming of Jesus. When Jesus comes and we're all up there in heaven, we won't need any of these gifts. So when it says that, but when that which is perfect has come, that's what it's talking about. And that's when it will all be done away with. Until then, we need them. And they are for the church. Because it says in that scripture, tongues have ceased and knowledge has vanished. But knowledge hasn't vanished. We still need knowledge today and understanding. So the gifts of the Spirit are for every single era of the church history and for today and to come until the church age ends when Jesus returns. Now, in learning to step out in these gifts, sometimes our flesh gets in the way and we get it wrong. I've got it wrong before. We all make mistakes, and that's absolutely okay. That's how we learn, and I want to encourage you to step out. If you think you've got something that's of God, step out. It will encourage you to go further. Never be afraid of the Holy Spirit. He's a gentleman, and he won't make you do anything that you won't do. He won't make you. Okay, so never be afraid of the Holy Spirit. He won't make us do anything weird. That's not him. And there will always be, as I said, those people that will come and thus saith the Lord. And you can't argue with someone when they say, thus saith the Lord. But I've heard some really weird things and I'm thinking, I don't think that's from the Lord. But I just keep that to myself. And of course, we don't want that to come into the church, but sometimes it just might. You know, someone might think they've got it and they don't. But we're going to be gracious. And if it needs correcting, I will correct it. But we will be gracious while we learn, and we learn to step out into these things. Because sometimes, I know I've got something and I'll say, you know, this is what I feel God's saying, and I'll go da-da-da. And then you think, oh, I need to add a bit more because it didn't sound long enough. And so we then go into our own flesh. That happens. If God just says two words, like no and no, like that's good. You know, just do what God has got you to say. And never be afraid of anything that God wants you to do in your life. If it's from the Lord, receive it, lap it up, enjoy it, work with it and walk in it. So quickly, what are the spiritual gifts? Well, in short, thank you. In short, they are spiritual capacities. They are spiritual endowments or capabilities. Now, spiritual gifts are not the same as fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's not tongues and prophecy. No, it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc., etc. And there's a list there in Galatians. But the gifts and the fruit are different. Fruit deals with spiritual characteristics, which is what we are in the Lord. Gifts deal with spiritual capabilities, what we can do for the Lord. Fruit develops gradually. It takes time to have fruit. You don't plant an apple tree, water it, and then expect apples on it next week. It takes time. However, a spiritual gift can be received instantly. You may learn them and work with them and hone in on the gift, but it is a gift from God. Just like any gift that is given, you have to receive it. Fruit is produced widely, but gifts are bestowed selectively. God chooses who to give them to. So never be jealous of someone's gift because God gave it to them. He's given you your own. Example, patience is for all of us. That's a fruit. And God wants to work that in every Christian. But not every Christian is given the gift of prophecy. That's selective. And spiritual gifts are not the same as our natural talent. You might be good at art, I'm not, maths or music. But believers and unbelievers play the piano, don't they? So it's a natural talent from God, and talents are present from birth. You know, from your children or your grandchildren, you see them start to excel and do well in something from an early age. And it's from their natural birth, and they grow in their natural environment, in their talent. But spiritual gifts come from new birth, being born again. Also, they're developed in a spiritual environment like a church. And over time, we can develop our gifts. And something else I need to say is your lack or my lack of natural ability does not disqualify you. You cannot say, I didn't get any of those, because you did. And you can't say that. The Bible says everyone is given a gift. It just might be laying dormant and you haven't understood that yet or you haven't exercised that, but you can never say that you're disqualified because I'm not talented. Look at Moses. In the natural, he was a stutterer. Now, a stutterer wouldn't want to get up and talk. And he said, God, I cannot talk to people. And God says, well, I've got a job for you. I'm going to use you. So you just watch what happens when I give you a gift. Even though that's not your natural talent, you're going to be my spokesperson for God's glory. And he was, because God gave him that gift to do what he needed to do. So note these few things. Gifts are given. They're not earned. They're not earned. You can't get up brownie points for this one, okay, brownie? That's why they are called gifts. You don't earn them, you receive them. Just as Jesus is the head of the church and his body is here, he gets to tell the members what to do. He gets to choose. So picture it this way. Jesus, in the body of Christ, he's the head. The Holy Spirit's like the nervous system, conveying to each cell or each member its role to be a healthy body. You see, when all the gifts are operating and when we're in our rightful place, then the gifts operate and we're a healthy body of people. And I say this because sometimes you might see in a worship team or something, you think, oh, I really want to be the worship leader. I really want that job. And you mightn't be able to sing, but you think you can, okay? Then if you put yourself there, it could go awfully bad. Who wants to do something they're not called to do? I don't. And so we need to be accepting the gift God's given us, not what he's given someone else. Because if you do, you'll be destined for failure. The quickest way to spiritual frustration is trying to do something that God hasn't called you to do. So the gifts are given, not earned. The next thing is the gifts are not the goal. They have a goal, but the gifts themselves are not the goal. They are the gateway to the goal. And what is the goal? Edification. They're to edify, to encourage. We were encouraged this morning. We were challenged. But that's good. Edification. They must edify the church. They are given to you not to hide personally so you can be blessed and edified yourself. And the only exception to that is the gift of tongues, our private gift, because Paul said, he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. That builds you up, yourself. But that's a different thing. That's the only exception. And the gifts are given for the profit of all. The next thing, they're available to all believers. Because God has not only called you, and the Holy Spirit not only lives within you, but when you are filled with the Spirit, which actually just comes by asking him. It's that simple. You just have to ask him. And present yourself and step out in faith. So it's available to all believers. And having said that, there are still believers where the gifts lay dormant and maybe they're not being filled or understand that they can ask each day for a new filling to be infilled again. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when that happens, we get transformed by the renewing of our minds, so we can present ourselves to Him. We can ask Him to infill us again. And the Holy Spirit may give you one gift. He may give you many gifts. Quite often they work in together. And they work with your personality because He knows you better than you know yourself. Because you are unique and you are different. And God puts them perfectly together. And Jesus promised that He would be our helper. And my goodness, we need His help. So we can ask Him to help us with this. And as I finish, I just wanted to touch on Moses for a moment. Moses said to God, God, let me see your glory. And God said, you couldn't handle my glory. You would die. But He said to Moses, I'm going to pass you by. He said, I'm going to make my goodness pass by you, whatever that means. And it was recorded that it happened. So the Lord passed by. And after that event, Moses had this glow on his face. His face glowed from the experience of being in the presence of God and not even seeing the full glory of God. And he just lingered for a moment. And the Apostle Paul refers to this in the New Testament when he says, we're also transformed from glory to glory by the same Spirit. So it's sort of a loose term to describe an encounter with God by the exercising of the gifts among the believers. So my prayer is that you would desire these gifts, because the Bible tells us to desire them, and that God would do a deep and a wonderful work in your life. And the Bible also says, let love be your highest goal. But you should also desire the special abilities that the Spirit gives you. So today, if you would like to be filled again, refilled, topped up with the Holy Spirit, and you might think, no, well, I'm already filled with the Spirit. Well, we give out and we leak. And we need more. And we need to be infilled, to be empowered by the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you've given, for the edification of the church, and for the power and the authority which you've given us. And we pray today that you would fill us afresh and that you would use us in Jesus' name. Amen.